This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
What gadget for removing irritation translates to not seeking help from others in Chinese? The answer to that at the end of the show. My name's Tom Scott, and this is Lateral. Okay, yep, gotta go now. Yep. Yeah, we're just about to start the show.
It's actually really rude.
No, you put the phone down first. No, you do it. Okay. Yeah, no, bye. Bye. Sorry about that. Just putting in my pizza order for later. Here for a slice of banter on this week's show, we have the team from Let's Learn Everything, who apparently found that joke far funnier than I did. Thank you for the raucous support there.
That was great.
For me, it was how much of a Tom Lum joke that was.
Oh, yeah.
From someone else.
Maybe that's my... For me, it was the commitment to a visual bit on an audio medium.
Did I need to have one of my headphones out and a phone to my face? It helped with the character. It helped my motivations, darling.
It was believable.
We should introduce yourselves. I mean, you are regulars here. It's always a joy to have you on. But let's start with Tom Lum.
Hi, I'm Tom Lum. That's me. I get worse at it every time.
You know what? That's all the introduction you get. I was going to ask you about that. We're moving on.
Nope, better luck next time.
Caroline Roper, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you. Thank you so much for having us back. It's lovely to be here.
Well, it's always a pleasure. I think I made a cameo in your Christmas special as one of the people sending in facts. So lovely to be there.
Thank you.
Ah, so good.
Like, plug the podcast. What have you been up to?
Oh, gosh, what have we been up to? Nothing new. We've been carrying on with the same old recently.
Good selling, Caroline. Jesus.
Hey, you get nothing but consistency from us, okay?
Also here from Let's Learn Everything, and with a black cat perched just behind her, Ella Hubba.
Hello.
Hi, I'm Ella. I'm also one of the hosts of this perfectly adequate podcast.
We just had like an amazing investigative climate journalist on for a really fun episode.
We did. But
we do serious stuff too now.
Yeah.
Since we were last on.
Yeah, from the podcast that you had to be the first person to say the name of, Tom, that's what you expect. We're too focused on the science. We're not great at the other stuff, the introduction.
Well, good luck to all three of you. Welcome back to the show. Our questions are very much like pizzas, because they're hot to handle, a bit cheesy, and hard to digest. And while you argue about what toppings you want, I will deliver the first question, which is... This question was sent in by Bart Verbank. Thank you, Bart. Since coming home from a work trip, Mike has a tendency to drop things by accident. Why? I'll say that again. Since coming home from a work trip, Mike has a tendency to drop things by accident. Why?
How long ago did he go on this work trip? How long has he been back? Like, has he just gotten back? Is he still carrying stuff?
Or I thought you were thinking he's been gone for 20 years and he's now aged.
Everything's shit. Ooh, Ella.
Oh, I like that.
Writing the short two-sentence horror stories. Short stories here. My first thought is maybe they were on a boat and so they have land legs, you know, and so they're a little loose on dropping stuff, or late shift at the butter factory.
My goodness, maybe they're an astronaut and now their grip strength is worse.
Oh, yeah. We learned, you know, muscle mass massively decreases.
Not even, I'm going to call this, it's not even their grip strength. It's just they're used to letting go of things because of zero gravity.
And it's
Oh, yeah. So every time he goes to brush his teeth and then he just lets everything just fall to the ground.
And he just has to let go and it just stays there. Yeah.
He just has to be used to it.
Yes, you have absolutely nailed it.
He worked at the Butter Factory in space for 20 years.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I would have held that in if I thought that was the right answer.
No, that was a great bit of teamwork and deduction. Thank you. It's nice when we get the first one out of the way. That's brilliant. Mike is an astronaut. He's just come back from a mission on the ISS. He's having difficulty readjusting to objects obeying the laws of gravity. I take issue with that note because they have always been obeying the laws of gravity. It's just that everything else around them was also obeying the laws of gravity at the same speed.
When you say like learning how that objects obey the laws of gravity, it sounds like they're like relearning object permanence. It's like, man, I've a baby had to learn that. It's like, sorry, I forget sometimes.
There is quite a famous comedy sketch about this of an astronaut just repeatedly trying to demonstrate something with a pen and being surprised that it's not there. That one is fictional, but there is the true story of Joe Edwards, who was pilot of the space shuttle in 1998, who let go of a cup of lemonade when asked to take off his shoes before a medical examination. So it is actually a thing that happens, just not quite to the extent that sketch happens. We rattle straight on then to our first guest question, and we'll go over to Ella.
This question has been sent in by an anonymous listener. Between 1997 and 2006, why could you be certain that most 20-year-old men in Singapore owned a pair of New Balance trainers?
Ha!
Once more, between 1997 and 2006, why could you be certain that most 20-year-old men in Singapore owned a pair of New Balance trainers?
Tom, you had a joyful look on your face, and I thought that meant you knew it, but instead it was the joy of being like, what on earth? What is happening?
Unfortunately, I do know this one. So, Tom, Caroline, this is over to you.
Okay.
All right. Alrighty,
okay,
then.
Guys, come on.
Was somebody giving them away for free at one point?
The year's 2000, 2001, right?
It's 1997 to 2006.
To 2006. Okay. The internet is a thing. Oh, it's because they all realize that it's one of the best shoes. It's, you know, you got it's good sporty, it's good all around shoe. That's the only reason why. And today's sponsor is New Balance.
Someone else taken out an ad read on this show without my knowledge.
Yeah, sorry. Are we not allowed to do that?
No.
Should I not have it?
If you're getting paid for it, absolutely not. We want a cut of that. If you just happen to enjoy New Balance trainers, good luck to you.
We're a New Balance family.
That's not a bad scam, is it? Like, get product placements in on other people's...
Podcasts!
Having said that, that's basically just the talk show circuit, isn't it? Like, you've got a product to promote. Yeah. Fine. I am famous enough to... I will deign to appear on your late night talk show. Plug my movie.
I am currently product placing right now because I am wearing a hat for our podcast.
Ella, where did you get that amazing hat from?
Okay. Just let me quickly... Tom, you were kind of... Although you're not there, you were kind of right on the idea that quality is important.
Oh. Oh, like maybe they're made there? And then they can get them like hot off the presses or something like that?
It's not or like they can assure fruit, you know? Trainers can travel fine.
Oh, these have gone bad. They've turned green already.
you just want those shoes when they're just straight out of the factory, still warm. Just you can mold them to your feet.
That new shoe smell. Yeah.
I do, because when it comes to like guitars, I know that like there's one make of guitar from like Gibson or Epiphone where like after a certain year they switched from making them in like Korea to Mexico, I think. And like there are people who are like ride or die on either side being like, you got to get it from like this place because like they did it better back then or something like that. So
it's not the location.
And quality is interesting because my other thought was this is some like lottery thing. Like it's like a Willy Wonka shoe situation.
No, because most 20-year-old men in Singapore are wearing these. I owned a pair, at least.
Is it
around this time?
Something like you're saying most 20-year-old men. Is there like is that a demographic of people who do a specific type of job and therefore having this shoe is better? Okay, Ella.
I'm trying not to say anything because Tom Scott does this where he just lets us ask questions until we run ourselves in circles. But I can't help but make a face.
It's really easy to get into where you just keep asking individual questions. And what's better is when there's discussion, there's conversation, and someone goes, oh, he's an astronaut. Like, <that's...
laughs> okay, converse.
Oh, so they're converse.
Oh,
I thought they were new valves.
Well done. That was very clever.
Dear.
That's what friends of mine call a golf clap pun. It's
Is it not even like profession? Is it just like lifestyle differences? Were more people walking at that point, and therefore New Balances were seen as the best shoe for doing that?
It wasn't like a fad around the time.
Is this a tax related or like import related? Like maybe they were cheap because they were like imported under a different category or something like that?
No.
Or is it the opposite, that so many people worked for New Balance that they were giving the shoes out for free? We're back to here. I'm so sorry.
Let's see.
Were every other shoe available just awful in comparison?
I think just trying to think about like the age of the men.
Yeah, was like a famous Minecraft YouTuber wearing
it was them. 1997 to 2006.
Was an early pioneering Minecraft YouTuber.
No, you're before both Minecraft and YouTube there, Tom. They were recording themselves building Lego on VHS. That's...
Yeah.
Yes. They're like, look, one day, I was born in the wrong time. I would have been huge. Was it a like movie star, an athlete,
no,
someone that
Ella
was...
said it wasn't a fad, which makes me think it's none of it wasn't like a celebrity endorsed thing. It's about like the shoe itself.
Could it be like, does it have a secondary use? Were they using it for just like wearing them?
For what?
Like those shoes that have the little toy in the heel? Could people like keep their really chunky phones as like the sole of the shoe for a bit? No? Okay.
Okay. Let's circle back around. You said Caroline specifically why they might all be wearing the same shoe.
For work? In some way?
Do they like not leave any marks or something if you work somewhere where you need to be like quiet or you need to not leave shoe marks? Why do you wear New Balances?
Why would most men, young men in one country, be wearing the same thing?
Were they given for like the army or something? Like was it mandatory gear for the army?
Yeah, they would. They were trainers supplied for military service between 1997 and 2006.
No.
So the ages, because in Singapore, male citizens and permanent residents start a two-year period of military service at the age of 18. And that just happened to be, the New Balances just happened to be the shoes that were provided in that period. They've changed now, thinking they're New Balance or Asics. Since 2001.
I couldn't have named New Balance or any specific shoe, but you said 20-year-old men in Singapore all had the same thing. Yeah. I'm like, well, that, I know something about Singapore. Okay. That's going to be
That's Tom's lateral brain for you, my God. That should be their new logo, though, on New Balances. Is trusted by the Singaporean army since these years and that year.
But not trusted by the Singaporean army since 2006. We're not sure why.
Yeah. We don't include that part. No, there's no reason why. Those are the best years for that.
Next one's from me, folks. Good luck. Which statue could alternatively be represented by Squidward Tentacles, Dr. Bunsen Honeydew, and Hello Kitty in that order?
In that order?
I'll say that again. Which statue could alternatively be represented by Squidward Tentacles, Dr. Bunsen Honeydew, and Hello Kitty in that order?
Who's Dr. Bunsen Honeydew?
Yeah, that's
the one that's losing me.
Oh, okay. This is one of those questions.
Yeah, and then meanwhile, someone else is like, who's Squidward Tentacles?
Yep.
And
it must be an animal. Sounds like a rabbit, I would assume. But
yeah, I was like, is this a hydra? Yeah. Is there?
I think you can work this out without knowing who Dr. Bunsen Honeydew is. I think the other two are enough to get this, so I'm not going to answer that question for you
away. Okay, an octopus and a cat.
You said sequentially, and at first I thought it was like all these characters have like posed as like Michelangelo's David or something like that. I was wondering like if that's the commonality. But
I was trying to think if it's like a horoscope or something. like a, ooh, not yeah. horoscopes, oh. really, new Chinese New Year. If there were like animals, but not, I don't think octopus is one of the animals.
No,
no.
It does sound like a monstrosity. This is also, I gotta say, Tom, this is the, one of those questions where we're gonna look back at all of our guesses and then laugh at our interpretations, where I'm like, it looks like a monstrosity, and it's going to be like, you know, like the Mary with like Jesus or something, and we're going to be like, oh, we didn't mean that. We didn't mean that. Sorry.
No, I'll stand by that. So is it, yeah, in that, because the question said in that order, not,
yeah,
but all together in that order? Are they like holding hands, you know, like
cute
it's a statue, so it is going to be in that order spatially rather than temporally.
Okay.
I love just somewhere in like New Jersey there's a statue of just Squidward and Hello Kitty holding hands. That's so cute.
That would be cute.
Octopus, anthropomorphic little cat,
and something in between them.
Is it Medusa involved? Because octopus,
no.
Hair, snake. That's snake.
That's
I'm
snakes.
So dumb. Please. Oh man. Oh, I thought I was so smart.
I cannot
for a second.
Move past the idea of like a hybrid creature between these three things. I cannot get past.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah. Chimera.
Yeah. I also wonder if the original statue is even an animal. Or if it's like the person who, not the person who created all of these things, but like, were they the founder of something that then led to all of these things being
Yeah, I think
created?
They, I mean, Hello Kitty and SpongeBob are separate.
All right, I'll clue you in that Dr. Bunsen Honeydew is the scientist from The Muppets.
Oh, right.
If you've seen The Muppets, and there's the short scientist, and then his tall assistant, Beaker, that goes meep, 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 and keeps getting hurt.
Meep, 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 meep.
It's the one that isn't Beaker in that pair, is Dr. Bunsen Honeydew.
Is there a statue of a scientist with an octopus and a cat? That's my brain is so linear, which is ironic like... for this show.
Honestly, linear is kind of the right tack to take here. If you line those three up in that order, you could argue they represented this statue.
Squid science cat, squid cat.
But do they have to be lined up side by side, or are you looking like head on at them so you see the cat at the front?
Oh,
left to right. I think I'll clue you in at this point. Oh. Left to right.
Squidward science cat, Squidward Muppet cat.
Think more about what they look like.
Tentacles.
Tall and tentacles, the legs, if you have eight legs, if you're a scientist, if you got like a little bow and you're cute.
I really wish I could visualize things right now.
Oh yeah, Caroline has aphantasia, yeah. So.
Here is a clue. That won't help. That will be incredibly unhelpful for this question.
There's a reason I'm so quiet right now, because I just can't. I'm like, I can't participate in this. I can't see things.
Maybe
in...
draw something, Caroline.
Yes.
Yeah, that could help.
My
that...
A-level art is going to be so
depending on how
right
accurately
now.
You remember those characters, it may well help.
I'm really stumped. This is...
They all have something in common. But rather, they're all lacking something.
Trousers. Is that right?
I think Ella's right on that.
I'm pretty sure Hello Kitty wears trousers or wears...
I don't think she does.
Doesn't she wear a little dress, though? Mm. Which then negates the need for trousers. Mm. Yeah.
So is that the answer?
No, it's not.
Are you drawing it, Tom?
A good way into this would be Hello Kitty quite famously doesn't have something.
A mouth?
A mouth.
I have no mouth and I must scream.
Oh my, it's see no evil, hear no evil, like,
yes!
Say no evil.
Yeah, talk it through, Ella, talk it through.
No ears?
Squidward has no ears, hear no evil. I guess the Bunsen has no mouth.
A Muppet with no eyes.
No eyes?
With no eyes. Oh, so see no evil and then Hello Kitty has no mouth, so say no evil.
It is the three wise monkeys.
Wow.
Yep. Squidward has no ears, so hear no evil. Dr. Bunsen Honeydew has no eyes, so see no evil. Hello Kitty has no mouth, so speak no evil. And that is the old saying, the ornament. I thought that might be the way into the question. I thought that was one thing there, that even if you don't know your Muppets, and even if you haven't seen SpongeBob, there might be a trivia fact about Hello Kitty that would get you in there.
That she famously has no mouth and no scream.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Tom, over to you for the next question.
This question has been sent in by Aiden Krellen. In the Xbox game, SpongeBob SquarePants Battle for Bikini Bottom, speedrunners found that it was possible to skip certain sections. Repeatedly pausing the game made it lag on purpose. What bizarre strategy did one gamer find to make this glitch happen consistently? I'll read it again. In the Xbox game, SpongeBob SquarePants Battle for Bikini Bottom, speedrunners found that it was possible to skip certain sections. Repeatedly pausing the game made it lag on purpose. What bizarre strategy did one gamer find to make this glitch happen consistently?
Ella, this is right up your alley as a fan of watching speedrunners.
The problem is, when we've had a speedrunning question before when we were on, and it was so... not something I ever would have thought of.
Because
it was very practical.
Famously, yeah.
And as I said back then, I know nothing about video games that I can follow that up with. I know nothing about SpongeBob SquarePants. So I'm basically useless on this question.
Every speedrunning tactic is like a new lateral question where it's like, it's just an entirely... Yeah, I can't say anymore, but I'm excited for y'all to guess at this.
What console did you say this was on? Did you?
Xbox.
Okay, so...
the original Xbox, I believe.
Pausing is the start button. And the strategy... I want to know if it's a practical thing or not. Like, was their cat walking over their, you know, controller and that's how they realized it happened? Or is this a strategy that they're using consistently and they just have...
Because I do know there used to be those controllers you could buy that would repeatedly send button presses for you so you didn't have to hammer the fire button. Like, I remember those for like Nintendo 64 because a friend had one when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like, if you just wanted to fire a lot, you could just hit the turbo button. But I don't think there was ever like turbo start button or anything like that.
Yeah, is it like gluing down the start button so it just repeatedly...
On the scale of turbo button to a cat stepped on my controller, it's actually more a cat stepped on my controller.
Okay.
This is a weird one.
Was this something that like one person in particular was doing, or was this something that this person was doing and then it became like like everybody then started doing it?
It's that sort of a thing.
You need to repeatedly quickly hit the start button then. You need to just keep bashing that as fast as possible during some sequence of the game.
I'll be honest, Tom, that's sort of the baseline strat for this. This was sort of something that made that work even more consistently, right?
I see.
Repeatedly pausing the game made it lag on purpose, but this allowed that to happen more consistently. And I will say, Tom, I think you will have some info on this because this is sort of a like hardware-y thing.
Okay.
So was it like if you did it at a specific point in the game, like during a cutscene or something like that, would it then make it lag more? Or is it like specifically in the gameplay itself?
It's more general purpose than that, because like I think you can use this glitch in multiple places.
If you want something to lag more, then there's a few ways to do that. Like, this is just general computer stuff. You can put more stuff on screen. You can have more things for the computer to deal with. You could also do stuff in the background. Like, an Xbox is just a PC with some extra stuff grafted on, or less stuff grafted on one of those two things. So you could run...
Don't let the console people hear you.
You could run...
And Xbox is special, and it's better than PlayStation and computers.
You could run additional stuff in the background, or you could just, like, heat it up. Like, it's a computer.
Oh.
If it runs too hot, it will slow stuff down. So you could just, put your Xbox on top of a heater and get it close to the maximum operating temperature so the chip throttles down, and that makes it lag more.
You're getting there, but it's dumber.
It's dumber. Okay.
You deliberately scratch up the CD. So it's rubbish.
Ella, you're correct.
Oh.
You're 90% there.
Okay.
It's just a slight minor detail.
You can't easily have a scratch data disc. Like an audio CD can skip sometimes, or the laser will lose its focus, but it can usually come back.
Exactly.
But data, you'll lose a lot of stuff. But some old games used to work.
Right, so you can't just scratch it.
Some old games used to work that you had a different data and audio section. Like the data would load in and then it would just play the music off the disc. But that wouldn't cause that.
Would doing something really dumb like smearing it in Vaseline or something like that cause this issue? You know?
Caroline, you're... Basically, I'm not going to make you guys guess it. There is one specific person who is attributed to licking their disc.
Oh my goodness!
Come on, man.
Tom, you're right on the money, because this isn't something that you can like permanently damage it like a vinyl record. This is something that you just have to like make it a little harder to read so that like maybe 50% of the time it doesn't read correctly. So the way a lag glitch works is like if you lag the game enough, like if you make the game wait like 2 seconds, like the physics engine is going to be like, oh man, like 2 seconds have passed and I haven't like run anything, and so it'll try to like do like less good physics and less good math. And one of the theories is that when you were pausing the game, it would, when you unpause the game, it would read the music from the disc, and so if you could make it harder to read, it would lag the game more consistently.
Wow.
I mean, it's gross, but it's good.
that's a slogan, and I don't know what it's a slogan for.
I don't know, like Cheetos or something, something like a messy food or something. Well, I say that along with all great speedrunning stories, this is attributed to Swagmaster Doritos, I believe.
Fantastic. Oh, brilliant.
And I think they would use thumbprints in like a pattern became the more consistent way to do it besides licking the disc.
Yeah.
And a lot of this info came from a great video from Shift on YouTube, who talks about this speedrunning strat.
I know we're done with the question, but just quickly, normally when you start the time on a speedrun, you start it from where it can be... you can lose time. So I would think that they would have to recall themselves putting the thumbprints on the disc, because technically
that counts
you can lose
time
by doing
that. Oh, yeah.
All right, good luck with this one. In 1676, why did Robert Hooke publish a nonsense word spelt C-E-I-I-I-N-O-S-S-S-T-T-U-V? You do not need to write this down.
Thank you.
Okay.
In 1676, why did Robert Hooke publish a nonsense word spelt C-E-I-I-I-N-O-S-S-S-T-T-U-V?
That was very, very sing-songy. I liked that.
No, it just had a certain amount of poetry, the way I said there's a triple I and a triple S in there, and it kind of had a cadence to it.
C-E-I-I-N-O-S-S-S.
Right. I still have the jingles for the phone-in numbers for like kids' TV shows in the 90s in my head, because they're always just played out multiple times a show.
We don't need to remember what the word is, so...
So that it means it's not like a different word that's on jumbled up or something like that.
Yeah. Where did he publish it?
I just said you don't need to write that down. I didn't say the letters weren't important. I'm just saying You don't need to.
Well, then I do need to write it down, Tom.
Who was the author again? I apologize.
Robert Hooke.
Robert Hooke.
DC.
Well, is this a classic lateral?
The jingle worked. You can remember it.
Yeah.
1-877 cards for kids, baby.
Oh, don't get me started. That's a crime. It's one of those things where if I'm driving in the US and I hear just one note of that, it's like an instant reflex to go and slam the radio off button. That's full on like demolished man earworm. It's awful.
I listen to like a lot of podcasts from LA and there's like a regional jingle for like the county of Van Nuys. And I have that now. Like, that's how pervasive they are. It's like, I don't even live there. And I now know Keys on Van Nuys. Keys on Van Nuys.
Tom, really getting us off track and I'm getting stressed. We haven't gone anywhere.
Are these Roman numerals a classic lateral trick?
Yeah. Because that's always it. It's always Roman numerals.
Not all of these letters are Roman numerals, no.
I was going to say, some of those I don't remember being.
Yeah, there's no N or T in Roman numerals that I know of.
Is it a chemical? No, way too early. No, it could be. Chemical element formula.
Ooh, I kind of like that.
I'm getting a subtle shake of the head.
Published a word.
Is it like a key? A secret key to a book where he buried his family treasure.
They are in alphabetical order. I don't know if that's relevant.
Missing letters.
They don't have to be in alphabetical order for this, but you're right, Tom. That is a bit of a clue.
Interesting. Are they?
And Ella, you said secret key.
Yeah, like a... I don't know the word for that. What's it called when you have a...
Like a codex?
Yeah. Where did he publish it? Did we hear that? Is it like a newspaper?
I don't know where, but just generally published and made public.
Okay, because I wonder if he's like 60... Did anything happen important around that time? Was there a war happening? Probably, because it's that time of the world.
A printing press thing, a dictionary thing, a book-related thing...
Yeah, he just ran out, like, the keys on his typewriter just broke and that's all he could type.
So, did he print those letters in that order?
I don't know enough history to know whether that would be printing press or whether it would be handwritten and published out. My history dates aren't great. But it was more important that those letters got out into the world and had his name attached to them. And Ella, you said secret key.
I just don't know what the key would be for, unless, well, what's, this is why I should have written the letters down, Tom.
It would not make a blind bit of difference.
N-O-S-S-S-T-T-U-V.
I am astonished at how well that jingle worked, Tom. That you weren't reading that.
I wrote it down.
Oh.
No, I just defied your rules. He's always not to do something. I'm doing it, Tom.
It wasn't a rule. I just said you didn't need to. You will not be able to deduce the meaning of this.
Okay, so it's not like if you were to shuffle those letters around, they spell something else.
No.
That's not what I said. I just said you won't be able to work this out.
So maybe it is that.
It's totally that. So it's like a secret key, and if you figure it out...
It's an anagram.
It's an anagram, yeah. Yes.
It's the location of the Declaration of Independence.
Do not try to solve the anagram. You will not solve the anagram.
I'm not working on it.
You may be able to find other bizarre anagrams in there, but you won't find the actual one because it's in Latin.
Oh, okay, fair enough. That makes me feel better. Thank you for saying that, because I would just be staring at this for the next 10 minutes otherwise.
Does anyone know who Robert Hooke was?
No.
Okay.
And no.
Pirate?
That it does sound very pirate-y.
You were just going off the word hook there.
Yeah.
No! Robert, a famously piratey name.
Robert Hooke was a scientist, and lots of other scientists use this technique as well.
But it's not chemical. It's not like elements. Oh, it's Latin.
Scientific Latin anagram. Was this to like make a patent for something or like to prove that you came up with something, but in a code?
Yes. Yes, it was. Talk through it. Why might that be the case?
You wanted to like...
Edison is around stealing everyone's ideas.
Is this like... is this like the equivalent of like holding a newspaper up in a picture or something?
I don't know. Ella, Tom, between the two of you, like it wasn't Edison. It's a little early for Edison. But yes, this was a way of him protecting his work and saying, I got there first. But why wouldn't he just publish it?
Is this like a proof or a chemical thing that like... he had to like still figure it out to solidify it, or he like wasn't sure?
That's it. That's the missing piece. Yes. He needed to double check his work. He'd had the idea. He'd done the first experiment.
Oh, wow.
But this is the 17th century. Like, there's a lot of scientists working on a lot of stuff. So he puts out this anagram.
You could discover anything.
Yep. It resolves to... I'm going to butcher my Latin because I don't know Latin pronunciation, but it resolves to ut tensio sic vis, as the extension, so the force. It is a measure of elasticity that became known as Hooke's law. And that is him going,
wow.
I got there first. If someone else out there figures this out, I can reveal the anagram and say, actually, this
holy
shows I got here first.
Holy.
Wow.
Oh, that rules.
That's really clever.
Is it? Because... I could bring out an anagram about anything and be like, yeah, I invented this thing first. That's not...
You'd have to find something.
Yeah, it is also just a phrase.
it's a phrase.
Well, it needs to be difficult enough that someone's not going to work out the anagram, but also simple enough that it is obviously just about that when it is resolved.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
These days, people use like computer algorithms to produce hashes of particular things. Like there's famously a couple of times someone has just tweeted out what looks like a random series of letters and numbers, but it is a phrase that's been run through a particular cipher. So in future, they can prove that they knew a thing at a time. Caroline, it is over to you.
This question has been sent in by Jacob. Lovers, Katie and Richard, hate to be apart, so they agree to think about each other at a memorable time before they go to sleep that evening. However, Katie does this exactly 49 minutes later than Richard. Why? I'll say that again. Lovers, Katie and Richard, hate to be apart, so they agree to think about each other at a memorable time before they go to sleep that evening. However, Katie does this exactly 49 minutes later than Richard. Why?
Katie doesn't love Richard as much.
Katie's just
49 minutes.
Katie's just really bad at time management.
Yeah. My immediate thought was time zones, but there's no 49 minute time zone that I can imagine.
There is one 45 minute one, I think, somewhere unofficially.
Is there? It's
in the middle of Australia. And it was always going to be a video at some point if I ever got there. But it is like 2 days' drive across the Nullarbor Plain. And it's called the Nullarbor because there's nothing there. It's just a straight road for days. And it's this little town that is on the border of two states and just split the difference between them and had an unofficial time zone. And it was not worth the effort to drive out there for one video that doesn't really have much visual about it. It's a very kind of early Tom Scott video, that.
Well, here I am. And when you look at it, look at the clock. Yeah. Whoa. Yeah.
That's a short these days. I was thinking sunset. I was thinking that they both agreed on sunset, but that seems like an obvious thing.
Well, because I was on the wording like memorable event, I think is the phrase you used, before bedtime. And so that does feel sunset.
Her watch was upside down, so she didn't read it properly. I'm really bad at reading analog, I'll be honest. So
yeah, that's like a classic lateral thingy, is like analog watch versus...
Wait, what did you both just say?
Analog.
Analog watch?
Interesting.
Her watch was slow.
Is it actually? I was going to say as a joke, I feel like that's like a...
They were using a sun dial, and like Tom said, they were in different places and the sun hit it differently.
No, it's nothing like that.
But analog watch is close somehow.
It's thinking about like types of watches or things like that, yeah.
Is there any way you can accidentally have a clock upside down or something like that and permute it so that the numbers accidentally read something similar. Like, I don't know what that would be.
Like you read the minute hand and hour hand backwards or something? You reverse them?
No, if it's like a digital clock, it'd be like six and, well, what's four upside down? That's not a thing, is it?
But it doesn't have to be 49. It could be like half past.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Could be like 18. I'm drawing this in front of me, and there's got to be some sequence of numbers where if you read it upside down or in the mirror or something like that, it looks like it's 49 minutes later.
So I think I've sent you down a bit of a rabbit hole here by thinking specifically about analog clocks. You don't need to go quite that far down, but thinking about like what they might be looking at rather than thinking about like a specific time. Like they weren't picking 11 p.m., you know, they were looking at clocks.
Stars? Were they looking at a star?
And was one of them in space and they had time dilation?
Oh, see, they are. Were they in different places when a gravitational wave passed through them?
Yeah. No, nothing that exciting, Ella.
And it's not my rotation thing. Okay, fine.
No, it's not your rotation thing.
Sorry, it's to do with clocks. I've lost the plot.
It's an event, a momentous event. Like New Year's Eve?
It's not an event, Tom. It's a memorable time for them before they go to sleep that evening.
Like 11:11? That's like a cute time.
And that would be 49 minutes before midnight.
It's not the fact that it's just before midnight.
That's wild. Yeah, but...
Thinking about different... Oh, I don't want to give too much away, but Tom, you're really, really close.
Yeah.
Tom?
Tom Lum. Yeah. One of them is looking at... One of them has 11:11 as the time in their head. Why might the other person not have that in their head?
Did they think they meant 11:11? Like, don't forget, it should be 11:11.
These are digital clocks, though, right? These are like numbers.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
So why might they have different numbers in their head?
Oh, they have different types of military time. You know, 24-hour time versus 12-hour.
Yeah.
Is that it?
So
you are so absolutely spot on.
23:11. Wait, that doesn't make sense.
Oh.
Yeah, that's more than 49 minutes, right?
I'll leave you to try and figure out that last little bit then.
How does that work with the 24 hour versus?
Think about 11:11. Mm-hmm. Think about what that number looks like when you're looking at it on a digital clock.
Yeah.
Unless
it's 11.
Think about it on a 12-hour clock, 11:11. What does that look like when you're looking at a clock?
It's a series of vertical lines. It's 1, 1, 1, 1.
1, 1, 1, 1. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then on a 24-hour clock, it would be... Is it 2, 3, 1, 1?
So on 1, 1, 1, 1, all of them are the same.
Is it 2, 3, 2, 3 or something? Or like 2, 2, 2, 2?
What was that, Tom Lum?
2, 2, 2, 2?
2, 2, 2, 2. Yeah. So shall I explain it?
Wait.
I feel like
is one do it on 1, 1, 1, 1 and one on 2, 2, 2, 2?
Yeah. Absolutely spot on.
Of course it is. Because if you go the other way, I said it was 49 minutes before midnight. Of course it is. You go 49 minutes back, your two zeros change to 11. You go 49 minutes back from that, of course they're going to change to 2 and 2 as well. I was right. I was going the wrong way.
Yeah. Absolutely spot on. Yeah. So
when all the numbers are the same.
When all of the numbers are the same, that was their memorable time. They had both agreed to look at the clock and think of each other when all of the numbers on the clock were the same. One of them had a digital clock that was on the 12-hour clock, so it was 11:11, and the other had a 24-hour clock or a military clock, so that he looked at it at 22:22. So it's 49 minutes apart.
And they still made their love work in spite of that, in spite of their differences.
I cannot express how dissatisfied I feel from doing so
well. Ella, listen, Ella, love works in mysterious ways. When you find it, you know.
Which leaves us with the question from the start of the show. Thank you to Gerhard Katarius for sending this in. What gadget for removing irritation translates to not seeking help from others in Chinese?
back scratcher.
Yes, it's a back scratcher.
Oh.
Spot on, Tom.
Oh.
Wow, Tom. Take all the fun out of it.
It's genetic.
Yeah, I asked our question team to double and triple and quadruple check this because it sounds like one of those weird anecdotes about isn't the Chinese language funny? But no, the three characters in Backscratch, if you break it down, it is not to seek and person. Not seeking help from others.
Wow.
I do have that tattoo on me, so that makes sense.
I literally was like thinking back to my dad and like my grandparents. So it might have actually helped. Because that is, it's a thing. Yeah.
Thank you very much to all of our three players. Where can people find you? What's going on with the show? We'll start today with Caroline.
You can find us. We are Let's Learn Everything, and you can find our podcast, all of our socials, our Discord server on letslearneverything.com.
Tom, what kind of things can they find there?
You can find a lot of stuff similar to this show. We've covered birds in space. We've covered speedrunning. And very recently, we also talked about copyright. So that could be something similar to the... We didn't cover that codex that Robert Hooke had, but we cover similar stuff.
And Ella, you can't tell me what's coming up. Why not?
Because every episode, we surprise each other with wonderful and interesting science miscellaneous topics.
And if you want to know more about this show, you can do that at lateralcast.com. We are at lateralcast, basically everywhere on the internet, and you can see video highlights at youtube.com/lateralcast. Thank you very much to Caroline Roper.
Woo!
Ella Hubber.
Woo!
Tom Lum.
Woohoo!
I've been Tom Scott. That's been Mario. This has been Lateral.